For many years, he's been called the most heard voice on public radio. If you listen to NPR, you already know Frank Tavares. He's the voice of the station, the guy who every hour says support for NPR comes from NPR member stations. And Frank's voice is unmistakable, but he's more than an announcer. He's also an author, too. His new book, The Man Who Built Boxes, showcases his unique storytelling abilities. Frank Tavares is on the line with more, and a pleasure to have you on the show.
Melissa, it's a pleasure to be with you, and I loved hearing you do my line. This
I'm going to do you now. So, yes, can you please explain how this whole segment is brought to us by Novo Nordisk, for example?
It would be nice if they were underwriting all of, yes, all of the interviews, wouldn't it? It would be. It certainly couldn't be a bad thing.
Now, before we talk about your book, your voice is so well known to our listeners, and it makes me wonder, when you're just out and about in the world, do people recognize your voice?
Every once in a while, if I'm talking with somebody that I've not met before, maybe there are two or three of us, and I'll get this little perplexed look, and then usually they'll say something like, you know, you're very familiar, and often they cross the visual with the audio, and so they think they've seen me someplace before. And if they pursue this, I'll often just say, do you listen to public radio? And if they say yes, I'll look around me to make sure that I'm not going to embarrass me or anybody else. And I'll lean towards them and I'll say, support for NPR comes from NPR member state. And it's really amazing. It still astounds me, Melissa, after all these years, the positive reaction that I get from people. It really is. Every once in a while, it's a little scary, but I don't like to...
do you freak
I don't
people
like to focus
out?
On that.
Oh, funny.
It is. It sounds funny to say this, but sometimes it really does. Sometimes they just get if they get too excited, I'll make some kind of joke about obviously you listen to too much public radio.
Sure. Well, you're an icon, but it's exciting to have you on the program because we're not talking about your voice work, but you're writing your new book, The Man Who Built Boxes, a format, yes, I really enjoy. It's a series of short stories. What drew you to writing in that way?
My writing experience, actually my entire professional life, I've been a writer, but most of that writing was very different. Client, I used to be a partner in an ad agency before my public radio days, so it was always client focused, very specific. The story I like to tell sometimes is that working in advertising is when I really learned about the power of words and how they could affect people and certainly influence them. That's the whole idea behind advertising. And then when I discovered public broadcasting, that's when I decided to use that power for the forces of good.
Uh-huh.
I started writing fiction. In my personal archives, I have bits and pieces going back to high school and even earlier. But I started writing fiction seriously back in the 90s. I got tired of, this is going to sound weird, but we all have these conversations with ourselves. I got tired of listening to myself complain about how I always wanted to be a writer and write a novel. And just one day I had this little conversation with myself and I said, Frank, shut up and do it. And I started working in a longer form, in a novel form, as I was completing one, I started another because I didn't want it to be just a one-off, that I wanted to prove to myself that I could work in a couple of different genres. But, Melissa, it takes a long time to write a novel.
Right. Yeah.
And along the way, I started working on the short stories because you have that sense of completion much earlier, even though there's as much rewriting. And then when I started getting them published in various literary journals around the country, it was very affirming. And it helped me understand that I could trust my writing because somebody else was trusting it. So long rambling answer to what should have been a short response to your question. That's how I started writing the fiction. And I found that it's been very, very nourishing to me creatively. I really enjoy it, which is not to say that, like all writers, I don't have those moments where I feel stuck and it's not going well. And that's why I'll always have multiple projects going. So if I do get stuck on the story about Melissa and Frank, I can go someplace else for a while. I can let that sit for 3 or 4 days and not feel like I'm not getting anything done. I very much enjoy this kind of writing.
The stories all deal with different scenarios, but do you see them all having a similar theme?
That's such a good question, because honestly, not while I was writing them. Hmm. And this is one of the things, I haven't really talked about this. This is one of the things that kind of scares me about putting together a collection, is that I had to look at the writing in a very different way than I had looked at it before. I work on a short story. I finish it. I send it out. It comes back. I rewrite it. I spend a lot of time getting it to a point where I feel I can really let it go and it'll have a life of its own. But I always think of it as that particular story, and now I'm going to work on something else. I've never really thought about how one relates to another. And when I first started talking with a publisher very early this year about pulling together a number of these stories, most of which had been previously published into a collection, one of the first, by the way, I thought it was going to be easy, right? Because, what do I know? I said, well, all of the stories have been written. That's the hard part, right? Mm-hmm. And most of them have been published. So, how hard can this be? And I learned very quickly, it's a lot of decisions, many more than I had thought, including deciding which stories to include, which ones to exclude. And then we came into what you were asking me about in terms of the themes. Is there a theme? And part of it, and this is the thing that I mentioned that kind of scares me a little bit. Part of it is I don't want to know too much about how my creative process works. It's kind of like, if it's working, don't go poking at it with a stick, mm-hmm. just leave it alone. Mm-hmm. And yet I found myself having to think about a little of this. And the editor and the publisher were able to help me discover some of the themes. And I guess it's going to sound funny, since I'm the one that wrote all of these, I'm thinking, oh, I didn't realize that. I didn't see that before. Wow, two of these stories actually involve people in boxes. Three, if you want to, there's one that takes place at a funeral. I said, I'd never made those connections. Should I worry about this?
The subconscious coming to the surface, I guess.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And how many thousands of dollars in therapy might this cost me now?
Maybe writing this was your therapy.
Well, there you go.
Well, it's such a pleasure to have you on the program. We've known and loved your voice for years and years, and I look forward to the success of this book, The Man Who Built Boxes, in stores now. Frank Tavares, a pleasure. Thank you for being with us.
Melissa, thank you for asking me. It was my pleasure.